A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
It's Wednesday, the 8th of July, and we're looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. So far, we've seen that what Mark is presenting to us is a teaching message. It is a package that has been constructed to teach. So although everything in it is historically true, messages from the life of Jesus, it is not in and of itself just a biography of Jesus, nor is it just a history, although everything in it is, as I say, historically true. It is presenting a gospel to us. And so Mark has constructed this with great care, putting stories together from different parts of Jesus' life and presenting to us through those stories the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the thing he has presented in verse 1 that is the title page for the whole gospel. And we've seen so far that Jesus, having come onto the scene, was baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist is really an Old Testament prophet, but in walking into the new, onto the pages of the New Testament and introducing Jesus to us. And Jesus, in undergoing a baptism at the hands of John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, was in effect proclaiming his willingness to die the death of sinners, something of which his Father in heaven dramatically approved, calling out from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And we saw too that the ministry of Jesus is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So the scene has now been set, and now we see the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Before I read the reading for today, I'm going to remind you of a prophecy in the Old Testament. It comes in Isaiah chapter 9. It's a very well-known prophecy, mainly because it's often read at Christmas in services of nine carols. This is usually one of the readings. So I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish." This, by the way, is 700 or 800 years previously. "In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time," this is now referring to the New Testament time, leading into the church age, "but in the latter time, he," that's God, "has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations." And then comes verse 2, very famous verse, "The people who walked in darkness," that's spiritual darkness, "have seen a great light," that's gospel light, "those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." You know, the inhabitants of Galilee were always the first, usually, to, nearly always the first to get it in the neck when invaders came, because invaders usually came from the north, and Galilee, being a northern region of Israel, was usually the first to experience such attacks. And now we see it is the first to experience something else. I'm going to read from verse 14 of Mark chapter 1. "Now after John was arrested," that's John the Baptist, "Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So it's no surprise, is it, that there is Jesus proclaiming the very thing that Mark has told us he is writing about in his first verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is, according to verse 14, proclaiming the gospel, and in verse 15, commanding repentance and faith in the gospel. Now this great truth that Jesus began to preach the gospel in Galilee is supported both in Matthew and in Luke. So we see in Matthew chapter 4 verse 12, we're told this. "Now when he heard that John had been arrested," John the Baptist that is, "he," that's Jesus, "withdrew into Galilee." And then it goes on to quote that those verses from Isaiah chapter 9 that I read to you earlier, and then verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So there is the beginning of Jesus' preaching, according to Matthew, in Galilee. And when we jump to Mark, we find exactly the same thing in Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says this, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So there is a very clear picture of the beginning of the preaching of the gospel in Galilee. And what is Jesus saying as we come back to Mark chapter 1? Jesus is saying that the time is fulfilled. Now, he's referring here to all the prophecies of the Old Testament. The Old Testament looked forward to a time when God's people would be saved by somebody called the Messiah or the Christ. The Christ is just the Greek word for Messiah. It's the same word, but just in two different languages. And what we're told in the Old Testament is that God himself would come as the Savior of his people, the Christ. And what Jesus is now saying is the time is fulfilled. All those prophecies of the Old Testament are now fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And then he goes on to say, and the kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying the kingdom of God is here now. People might look around and say, well, I don't see any kingdom. You know, we're under the Roman jackboot here. Why is there a kingdom? Ah, but you see, the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. And it's a kingdom of God's people who are drawn in by the preaching of the gospel. And as they repent and believe, we'll come to those two things in just a moment, they enter the kingdom of God. They become the very people of God. They become the family of God. They receive eternal life. And that is what Jesus is really saying in the first part of verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. But what is the response that is required? And that is what the last phrase of verse 15 tells us. It's two imperatives. The first one is repent. And the second one is believe. They are two very different things. The imperative command to repent describes a turning around, a turning aback, a turning from something to something else. Now, it's very important we don't understand that to mean moral reform. We are unable to reform ourselves morally. And the more we try, the more it is likely to go wrong. We just end up replacing one sin with another worse sin, perhaps the sin of human pride or self-righteousness. Now, the idea of repent is to turn from whatever is keeping one from turning to Christ. There will always be a moral reason for not turning to Christ, and repentance is over identifying it and overcoming it. And it's important to see that repent comes before believe. The Bible, you know, never says believe and repent. It always says repent and believe. And what it says, in effect, is that it is not possible to believe unless one repents. Repentance is the necessary gateway to a saving faith. And the word believe doesn't mean an academic assessment that gives intellectual assent to a particular fact, like we might believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4. No, this kind of belief is a commitment of the life, a laying of the whole person upon Jesus Christ, an utter dependence upon him. That is real belief. That is saving faith. And so what we see about the gospel is that the gospel is to be the object of faith. It is the means by which the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, builds the kingdom of God. It is what calls his people to repentance and faith. Now, that is a vital understanding about the gospel message. We'll return to this matter again tomorrow. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thing it is that your gospel is still being proclaimed in this world. We thank you so much that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, has come. We thank you that your kingdom is now being built. Your church is being built. And we pray, Father, that many would repent and believe in that gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.